Joshua chapter number 17 in your Bibles this morning. And notice there in Joshua chapter 17 and verse number 14. It's good to hear the Bible's pages churning. I like hearing that on Sunday morning. You go to some churches and man, you know, the verses on the screen, nobody's doing it. I'm thankful you bring your Bible to church. And even if it's on your phone, I'm glad you do it, all right? Just get an app where it sounds like the pages are turning, all right? Joshua chapter 17 and verse 14. The Bible says, "And the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, Why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people, for as much as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto? And Joshua answered them, If thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country, and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites, of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. The children of Joseph said, The hill is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both they who are of Beth Shean and her towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel. And Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, Thou art a great people, and hast great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only, but the mountain shall be thine, for it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down. The outgoings of it shall be thine, for thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong." Father, speak to us this morning as we deal with this issue of complaining. I pray that, Lord, we would examine our hearts. And I pray that we would forsake a complaining spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, complaining has ruined many churches. Complaining will ruin a marriage. Complaining will ruin your time at work, at your job. I have, in my life of ministry, which hasn't been significantly long, I've been in full-time in the ministry for 10 years, and for 5 years before that, I was in college and in the preaching ministry. But the last 15 years, as I've observed ministry and observed people in the ministry, the one thing that I find that will ruin somebody's ministry or will cause disruptions in the church is a complaining spirit. The Bible talks about when the children of Israel in Numbers chapter number 11 complained, the Bible says that it displeased the Lord, and the Lord plagued the people because of their complaining attitude. You know, complaining is something that we many times look at and say, well, that's not something that I struggle with. It's, you know, I'm just expressing my opinion is what we say a lot of times, you know. But the reality is God wants us to examine our hearts, and he wants to make sure that that complaining spirit is not a part of our lives. Why? Because complaining will destroy and ruin your life. It will hurt your family. And when you become a nagging, complaining individual, you become somebody that really people don't enjoy being around. And as we come to Joshua chapter number 17 and verse number 14, the Bible begins to talk about Ephraim and Manasseh and their complaining spirit. Just by way of introduction, I got really just two illustrations on complaining. I read this one. It said a monk joined a monastery and took a vow of silence. All right, but by the way, but you know what I'm saying, the illustration. It said after the first 10 years, his superior called him in and asked, "Do you have anything to say?" The monk replied, "Food bad." After another 10 years, the monk again had opportunity to voice his thoughts. He said, "Bed hard." For another 10 years went by, and again he was called in before his superior. When asked if he had anything to say, he responded, "I quit." The superior said, "It doesn't surprise me a bit. You've done nothing but complain ever since you got here." And I read that. I thought, you know how true that is. You know, food bad, bed hard. I quit. I love that. Another illustration is out west, the cowboy was driving down a dirt road. His dog riding in the back of the pickup truck, and his faithful horse was in the trailer behind. As he was cruising down the road, the speed got faster and faster, and he lost control. And the truck went tumbling over. The trailer went tumbling over. And everybody was hurt real bad. Well, the cop pulled up with his cruiser, and he got out. And he saw the dog was bleeding and just about ready to die. And so to relieve the dog of his misery, he pulled out that gun, and he shot that dog. He went over to the horse, and he saw the horse had a broken leg and was in great pain and was not moving. So he pulled out that gun, and he shot that horse to put him out of his misery. He went to the man. He said, "How you doing?" The man looked at the officer. He looked at the smoking gun. He said, "I've never felt better in my life, you know? You know, I think about complaining and perspective in our life. You know, the reality is,
our attitude will be reflective in our response to situations that God allows us to go through. As we come to Joshua chapter 17 and verse number 14, the Bible says that the people of Joshua, or of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh, they came to Joshua and they said in verse 14, "Why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people?" You say, "Pastor, why do people complain? Why in my own life do I find myself with a complaining spirit so many times?" I remember when I was in college, one thing they seemed to preach on all the time was a complaining attitude. You know, you got a complaining spirit. Why do we complain? Why did Ephraim and Manasseh, why did they complain before Joshua? I see, first of all, in their complaining, I see there was their entitlement mentality. Why did they complain? Because they thought that they were all that. They thought that they had reached the pinnacle of being the most important tribe in the nation of Israel. You understand that Joshua was from the tribe of Joseph. Man, Joshua was part of Manasseh or Ephraim. I believe Ephraim was his tribe. And men, they came to Joshua. And what were they looking for? Men, they were looking for better property. They were looking for not the hill country. They didn't want to go to a place where it was rugged and the mountain people lived there. And they didn't want to go to a place where they had to work. Man, they wanted the beachside resort by the Dead Sea. Man, they wanted the property by the Mediterranean Sea. They wanted a place where they could sit back with ease and relax and enjoy the spoils of being part of the elite company of tribes. Man, what was the problem? Why did they complain? Because they got something that they felt they were not entitled to. Why do we complain? Because so many times we have this entitlement mentality. It's all about me. Look at who I am. Look at all that I've accomplished. It's me, it's me, it's me. Let me remind you this morning, child of God, that it's not all about you. By the way, it's not all about your kids or your grandkids or, you know, your hangnail or your whatever. Right? It's not about you. And I'm afraid, what do? So many times when we come to church, we come to the church with the Burger King mentality of have it your way. You know, we want it our way. We want it to fit our box. And when things don't go according to our plans, what do? We gripe about it. We complain about it. Well, pastor just preached to, well, it's like there was a certain individual sitting here this morning that last week after the evening service complained that I preached too short, all right? I'm not going to call him out, but he does cheer for Auburn. But, pastor didn't preach. And by the way, that's the first time I've ever heard somebody complain about a pastor not preaching long enough, all right? Most of the time, pastor preaches too long, you know? Why does he preach too long? Because you got to go and check your sports score, especially during the winter season. You got to go back for Sunday night football, you know. What's the problem? The problem is so many times is, well, it doesn't fit my schedule, you know. Well, you know, the seats aren't comfy enough. Well, you know, that's your preference, you know. Well, it's too cold in here. That's why we're starting a ladies' ministry of making quilts, all right, to help you, you know. But what is the problem? So many times we come with this attitude, this entitlement mentality of, give me, give me, give me, fit in my box, and serve me. Let me say, the local church is not, it's not to serve you, though we are in the serving business. You are saved to serve the Lord, and you are saved to serve one another. When you come into the church, it's not, well, I'm part of Joseph's family, and Joshua is our leader, and man, we deserve beachfront property, take care of me, give me a petty and a mani, and you know, make sure my hair is done perfect. No, you come to church to serve. And unfortunately, so many times we come and we say, well, it's all about me. Why did they complain? Because number one, there was that mentality, the entitlement mentality. We deserve more because we're related to you. Really, that just boils down to pride. I was studying this week on the devil. And you know what? You know why Satan messed? You know why Satan was kicked out of heaven? Because of his pride. You know why people leave churches? You know why people get mad at the pastor? You know why people, you know, get mad with, you know why there's divorce in homes all across America? You know why people get mad and leave good jobs? I'll tell you why. It's because of their pride. It's our stinking pride that gets in the way of us going forward for God. And Joshua, they came to Joshua and they said, Joshua, we are something when really we're nothing. Hey, can I remind you this morning that we are nothing but a bunch of clay, that God breathed into us and we became a living soul. Hey, we're nothing without God. It's like one person said, we're a big circle we're a big wheel with the circle knocked out, right? That's exactly who we are. We are nobody apart from God. And yet so many times we have that mentality, that entitlement mentality. Let me say our nation is going downhill because of the entitlement programs and the entitlement mentality. Hey, you know, we want free cell phones, we want free health care, we want free food, we want free housing, we want this, 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 and this, gimme, gimme, gimme. Listen, that's not what our country was founded on. Our country was founded on George Washington and Abe Lincoln. Man, Abe Lincoln, I read some books on Abe Lincoln, man, that guy was a ox, man. He'd go out there and, man, he'd work like crazy and, you know, rip up those stumps in his little farm that he had. That guy was an ox. That's not how our country was founded, but we're at a place where it's the entitlement mentality. Let me just say, we will continue going downhill unless there's a change in our nation regarding that program, but we will go downhill as a church if we have that entitlement mentality. We will not grow. We will stagnate and stall out if it becomes, instead of serving, we complain about everything. They messed up. They complained because there was an entitlement mentality. Some people come to church and they say, well, my uncle built this church many years ago. This is, you know, my grandma paid for this pew. Up in New England, I don't know if you ever went to the Sturbridge Village there in Massachusetts, in Sturbridge, Mass. It's a replica of old New England towns. And I love going there, but they have an old church there. And in the old church, they have the pews, and this pew was paid for by this family. And up in New England, back years ago, you would buy your pew. And really, you had fancy door hinges, and I mean, it was your spot. Nobody took your pew. You know, churches in New England died out. You know why? Because of that mentality. This is my pew. It's been my family's pew for 14 years. And don't sit in our pew. Don't mess with us, right? Hey, listen, it's not about us. It's not about me. It's not about take care of me. Why do they mess up? Why do they get off course? Because they have the entitlement mentality. We deserve a place of honor because of our bloodline. This mentality has crept into the church. Kids that have big name dads for preachers are promoted because their dads work for God. They have this air about them, this pride about them, that they think they're somebody because of what somebody did in the previous generation. You know, God, thank God for the previous generation. Thank God for godly parents and grandparents that have fought the fight for God. But you know what? God looks at my life. He doesn't say, who's your dad? He says, what are you doing for me right now? He doesn't say, you know, what's your heritage? No, thank God for a good heritage. But God's looking at me and interested in what am I doing for the Savior today. So many people say, well, I've got the family heritage and so I'll be used of God. I think about Eli's kids. Eli the prophet or Eli the priest. You know, his kids messed up. Hey, their dad was a big-time, well-known preacher in Israel, but they made a mess of their life. Why? Because they were riding on daddy's coattails. I think about Samuel's sons. Remember they came to Samuel and they said, Samuel, make us a king because your sons, they don't walk in the way you're walking. Samuel's sons made the choice to walk away from the God of their fathers. They had a big name daddy, but they didn't do anything for God. I think about David. David was a man after God's own heart. What happened? Solomon was next on the scene, and Solomon, it did not pursue God like David did. He plateaued. At the end of his life, he wrote Ecclesiastes. He said, vanity of vanity, saith the preacher. All is vanity. He wasted his life. Why? Because he pursued the pursuits of the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And what happened to the third generation, Rehoboam? He completely forsook the Lord and walked away from God. Listen, child of God, if we live with the mentality, well, I've got the heritage, I've got the family name, the entitlement mentality, we will be useless for the Savior. They came to Joshua here and with their complaining attitude. Why do they complain? Because of their entitlement mentality. But notice as they go on, what did they say in verse 14? They said, why hast thou given me but one lot and one person to inherit, seeing I am a great people? I see not only did they have the attitude, we deserve more because we're related to you, but I see, second of all, their conversation is, we deserve more because we are a great people. When one complains, there is always a false sense of self-worth. Hey, we're a great people. Who said they were a great people? They convinced themselves that they were something. I have never seen someone complain about somebody else's problems. You ever realize that? It's always about me. You know, we go through Dunkin' Donuts drive-thru and the coffee's lukewarm, you know. We complain about that. No, we don't. We just go and complain to Dunkin' Donuts and they give us a free one. But you know, I think about Christy and I this past on Monday and Tuesday. We went away, got away for a little bit, and we went up to Asheville, North Carolina. And we stayed at the Crown Plaza up there in Asheville. It's supposed to be the nice hotel, you know. Crown Plazas are all over the country. They're great. We had some free nights that we used. But, you know, I went to the Crown Plaza with this expectation, this is what we want.
Well, we didn't get that expectation. The air condition wasn't cold enough. And so, you know what we did the next morning? We complained about it. Why? Because I wanted it freezing cold. I didn't want it lukewarm, you know, 70 degrees. I wanted it down 63, right? You know, the towels were not what we expected them to be, you know. We want fluffy towels. We want, you know, big old fluffy slippers, you know, and the big old bathrobe. And man, those towels were not what we expect. So we complained. You know what we got when we complained? We got free breakfast. You know, we got free soda at, you know, for the evening hors d'oeuvres, you know. I mean, hey, you complain, you get big time stuff when you complain at the hotel. But you know what? When it comes to the local church, when you complain, you know what happens? You sit on the sidelines and you don't do anything. Why? Because you have the attitude, it's all about me. We're a great people. They had convinced themselves that they were somebody instead of realizing that they were but flesh and they were but human. Why did they complain? Look in verse number 14 again. Why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am great people, for as much as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto. Man, notice their Pharisaical attitude. You know, look at what the Lord, and I, by the way, that, I don't know about you if you've ever experienced Pharisees. Pharisees are very good at complaining, and they're very good at critiquing everybody else. You know, and then they can quote the greatest verses. I think about sometimes, man, I've preached some sermons before, and you understand when I preach, I try to make it Bible-based. And I think I do an okay job with that. Obviously, we could just quote a million verses. But you know, when I preach, I try to, each point I make, I try to make sure it's backed up with Bible. I try to quote a verse, and I love it. There's been some sermons I preached where I'll quote, you know, I'll quote 75 verses and just hammer down verse. I remember there's one message I preach on the Bible. And I remember one time I got done preaching. I probably quoted 75 verses. I mean, just hammered down, preached for 25, 30 minutes, just fire away the word of God. Well, I remember I got done preaching, and this Pharisee came back to me, and he's like, preacher, he's like, you forgot to quote this verse. I looked at him, I said, man, I quoted the whole other Bible. I said, you know, I'm sorry I missed one verse, right? But it's the Pharisees that can critique it, right? The Pharisees are those that come along and, well, you're not doing it the way I would have you to do it. You're not doing it. Hey, what were they complaining? They wanted the life of ease instead of the life of serving the Savior. Why did they complain? Because of their entitlement mentality. Why did they complain? Because of their egotistical motives. They had a false view of self. They had the Pharisaical attitude. The Lord hath blessed me. Some of the biggest hypocrites are complainers. It says in Numbers chapter 11 and verse number 1, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. You say, Pastor, what does God want me to do? God wants you to, in everything, to give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God desires for you, instead of being a complainer, to simply be an individual that gives thanks in whatever state you're in. We were talking about Miss Sandra. We were talking about that couple, and I got a missionary letter on Wednesday or Thursday from a family, the Rowans, that come here. And Brother Rowan is struggling with some dementia and just some health issues. But I loved in her letter. She said this. She said, "We have learned in whatsoever state we're in to be content." You know, here is somebody with health struggles, and yet they were content with where God had put them and what God had allowed them to go through. You know, that ought to be our lot in life. Hey, God, whatever it is, whatever the struggle may be, wherever you place me, Ephraim and Manasseh should have had the attitude, you know what, this is where God has put me. I'm not going to complain about it. I'm not going to argue about it. We're just going to be busy doing what God's called us to do. So why did they complain? They complained because of their entitlement mentality, their egotistical moments. But notice, not only the complaint, but notice in verse 15, notice Joshua's charge. He says in verse number 15, by the way, this is how we deal with complaining. It says, and Joshua answered them, if thou be a great people. Notice the conditional statement. Joshua didn't come alongside of them and say, oh, you're so wonderful. You've got the greatest sweet singing voice in the world. You're the man. You know what you're doing. You know, he didn't come along and say, you know, puff them up. You know, we have that all over the place in Christianity as a whole. We try to make everybody feel better about themselves. You know, there are times when we need to be built up in the faith, but there are times when we just need to be rebuked. You know what I'm talking about? Rear back. I remember growing up, man, I enjoyed the times when my dad would be like, hey, let's go get an ice cream cone, and then we'd go get ice cream at Kimball's, and we'd have a great time hanging out, and man, he would build me up that way. But you know what? I didn't always need the ice cream and talk. A lot of times, you know what I needed? I needed that big old whipping stick, man, take care of business. I needed that rebuke. Why? Because it dealt with my attitude, dealt with my problems.
Joshua said, let me tell you something. I'm not sitting back giving you a scoop of ice cream and just patting you on the back saying, it's okay, Johnny, to express yourself. He said, no, here's a conditional statement. If you're really a great people, if you really are what you think you are, he says, then here's what you need to do. How to deal with complaining? Hey, the conditional statement. How did he deal with them? He did not baby them and justify their sins. He did not lend a sympathetic ear to their statements. He did not agree on any major point with them. Instead, verse 15, he said, if thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country. By the way, let me just say this in passing. As a Christian, you ought not to give ear to complaining. Somebody complains, you know what you ought to do? You ought to say, let's go talk to pastor together about it. Somebody comes and says, well, you know, they come to you, and can I talk to you in confidentiality? Listen, somebody says, can I talk to you in confidentiality when I was a church member? I'd never agree with that. I'd be like, no, man, if it's bad news. When I traveled, people come to me, they say, pastor, or they say, Brother Schwanke, can I talk to you about pastor? I'd be like, no, we'll talk to him together. I'm not lending an ear to a complainer. I'm not going to sit back and become somebody that they can bounce stuff off of. Listen, Joshua didn't say, oh, I'll take your complaints and just let them. No, because you know what happens when we listen to complaining? Man, it starts to work in our hearts and we start to think about it. We start to dwell on it. And that ought not to be the case. Man, when there's complaining taking place, what did he do? He charged me. He said, all right, if you're a great people, then here's what you need to do. Verse 15. He said, then get thee up to a wood country and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. And the children of Joseph said, the hill is not enough for us. And all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both they who are of Bethshean and her towns, and they are of the valley of Jezer. And Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, thou art a great people, and hast great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only, but the mountain shall be thine. For it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine. For thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong. What did Joshua do? He said, all right, if you're really a great people, then here's what I'm going to challenge you to do. He says, get busy moving. Get busy proving it. He challenged him. He said, if you're really a great people, then get up to the north country, get up to the wood country, cut it down, deal with the giants of the land. They say, have chariots. He said, who cares? You're a great people, right? Then prove it with your actions. You know, the greatest way to deal with complaining is to get busy. Get busy. You don't like something? You thank God for Miss Danielle. I appreciate her cleaning the church, and I appreciate everything that she does here. But you know what? Some people might say, well, you know what, Pastor? I don't like that she uses, what's that cleaning? Vinegar? Pine saw. Pastor, I don't like that she uses pine saw to clean the church, you know, to mop. You know, I think we ought to use, you know, the natural chemicals, you know. I like that smell better. Then you know what? Go get your natural chemicals and mop the church is what I say, all right? You say, well, I don't like the toilet bowl cleaner. Then go get your toilet bowl cleaner and clean the toilet, all right? You know what the solution to complaining is? Getting busy doing it yourself. I have found that the complainers are the ones that sit on the back row, twiddle their thumbs, critique everything, and they're the ones that are not involved. You say, Pastor, what's the solution to complaining? Get busy. Get your hands dirty. Get your fingernails dirty. Get out there and start working for God, not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. He challenged him. He said, if you're really a great people, then get up there and prove it. He said, you know what? Prove it by moving. He said, get up there and cut. He said, start working. And he says, get in the fight and start warring. What did he do? He refocused these folks and reminded them of the purpose of their life. Let me remind you this morning, child of God, the purpose of your life is to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The purpose for Joshua, or for Joseph's kids, Ephraim and Manasseh, it was not for them to sit around and talk about how great their daddy was, but the purpose of their life was to be busy serving the Lord, to get up and claim that land, to get up and conquer that land, to raise their kids in the Word of God. The purpose of my life is to be busy for the Savior. And so can I ask you this morning, where are you at? Are you like the children of Ephraim and Manasseh? Are you sitting back critiquing everybody else? Critiquing, criticizing, complaining? Or are you an individual that is busy about the task that God has called us to? What's the cure to complaining? Get busy working. So can I ask you this morning, where are you at? Where am I at? Are we complaining about the towels not being how we want them? Or are we busy folding the towels and putting them in the hotel room? Are we complaining that the coffee is not hot enough? Or are we making the coffee pot? Are we busy
doing what God's called us to do. The children of Israel complained. And the Bible says that Joshua challenged them and said, get up to the mountain, stop complaining, and get busy doing what God's called you to do. Let's pray together. Father, the message is simply to stop complaining. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us to examine our hearts, examine our lives. And Lord, if there's an area in our life where we're complaining, help us to stop. And then, Lord, help us to get busy serving the Lord. Lord, may this message sink down into our hearts in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. In just a moment, my wife's going to come. We're going to have a time of invitation. But I wonder how many would say, Pastor, this morning, I've been complaining. Maybe there's an error in my life. I've had the wrong attitude about. And God spoke to my heart this morning, and I need to make a decision to stop that complaining and get busy working for God. I wonder how many say, Pastor, God spoke to me, challenged me, pray for me, I need to make a decision. If that's you, would you slip your hand up all over the room? Preacher, God spoke. Good. Amen. Appreciate the honesty. Hey, praise the Lord. Thank God for your honesty this morning. Yep, that's me. I need to make a change in my life. Good. Good. Then let's do that this morning. Let's leave thankful, serving the Lord, instead of having that complaining attitude. But I wonder, lastly, before we stand and sing, I wonder, would there be one that would say, Pastor, I'm not saved. I'm not sure today if I died, I'd go to heaven. But I know Jesus died for me on the cross and he rose again. And I need to get that settled this morning. Would you pray for me, Pastor? Not sure I'm saved. If that's you, would you slip your hand up? Anybody at all, I won't embarrass you, but I'd like to pray for you. Pastor, not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. Here's my hand. Father, thank you for speaking to us this morning. Thank you for dealing with me about the area of complaining. So, Lord, help us to act upon it. May we leave different than when we came in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all take our hymn books and turn to hymn 388 this morning. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. God, touch your heart this morning. Maybe you need to come. As we stand together and sing, maybe you need to come and spend some time with God and